Some big news coming down today. Mark Pope made it official. He will be headed to Kentucky. Some other news that's coming down where BYU basketball players jumping in the portal. Dallin Hall has actively made it everybody aware that he will be jumping into the portal. And it's a tough situation for BYU basketball. They've got to find their guy and try to settle everything down as quickly as they can. Tim Lacombe, former BYU assistant coach with Dave Rose and current pre-, half-, and post-game show host with the Utah Jazz. He's going to join us here in about 20 minutes, and we are going to jump deep into this, talking about the BYU coaching search and some of the prospects that might be out there, because it is one of the bigger stories. BYU basketball overachieved, and nobody wants to see it fall off the cliff, and they've got to make a move pretty quickly to make sure that they shore that thing up. The NBA is really interesting right now. I know with the Utah Jazz out of the picture, maybe Jazz fans have dropped out and aren't paying as close attention to what's happening in the West. But Kurt Heelan, the best NBA insider, in my opinion, joins us now to give us some thoughts. Kurt, what kind of positioning are we going to see from Denver and Minnesota to make sure they don't have to see Golden State or the Los Angeles Lakers in the first round of the NBA playoffs?
That's a good question. Denver's pretty much locked up. Well, we rephrase that. They control their own destiny to get the number one seed. They just have to win out. And they want that, well, for obvious reasons, man. They only get to be home, but like, they've got that mile-high advantage for teams that come in. So they've pushed for this. You could see it. You could really see it in the Minnesota-Denver game when I was at Wednesday night, where they really went at each other. Like, you could tell this game mattered. And you could also tell Denver would make some dangerous hands. They just have a gear, right? Like, they just have a gear that nobody else gets to, certainly in the West and maybe in the NBA.
They've got a gear and they've got a guy who it looks like he's going to repeat as an MVP. Is that how you're feeling?
Yeah, my ballot has him on the top. It's kind of weird. Like, it was so preordained, and it's funny. I was texting with Tim Bontemps, who sets up the straw poll, and I'm like, it almost makes me want to. I spent time like, I've got to find, can I find, or not got to, but can I find a way to make it Shea or make a Luka? And there's certainly good cases for either of them. And at the end of the day, I kept coming back to it, and it's Jokic for MVP. So yeah, he's got my vote this year. He's going to go number one, and I would expect he's going to win by a margin that's larger than I think how people, at least the voters I talk to, like, view it. Like, everybody's kind of come around to that, but it's not like it's going to look like a runaway where I don't think it was that in my mind.
So for those of you that aren't familiar with the NBA play-in system, it was put into place back in COVID era, and it has remained. And the way they play in is they take the 7, 8, 9, and 10 seed. They play the 7 and 8 seed. The winner of that, it's a one and done. You're locked into the 7. The loser of that plays the winner of the 9 and 10 seed, which is right now Golden State and the Los Angeles Lakers. And yep, the winner of that locks in at the 8 seed. Right now, it would be the Phoenix Suns versus the Sacramento Kings and the Warriors versus the Lakers. First of all, Kurt, do you see it that way? Do you think that those teams kind of hold court? And how do you see the 7 and 8 seeds locking in that play-in situation?
I think Phoenix is pretty locked into 7. I don't think New Orleans. They're gonna need help, and they would need help from the Lakers on Sunday to knock New Orleans back to them. But those last three spots, Golden State, if they win out, which they can and maybe should, if they can win out, Sacramento loses their next two games, then they can get all the way up to 8. And if nothing else, if they win out, they hold on to 9. They've got the tiebreaker now with the Lakers after beating them the other night. So I just got a feeling Sacramento's so bad lately that they're just kind of coming apart at the seams that they're going to slip back, and one of those two teams will pass them. The Lakers have the easy game tonight. They've got Memphis. They should win that. And then they've got the Pelicans on Sunday in a game where both of those teams could really have something to play for. And if they do, that's going to – those are the fun ones, right? You get to Sunday and, like, what are the two or three games we're going to get where both teams have something on the line?
Okay, so if the Kurt Heelan Californians were getting ready to play the Golden State Warriors or the Los Angeles Lakers, which one in a seven-game series would you less want to see?
Ooh. Avoiding the how my team is, you know, the Kurt Heelan Californians obviously would be so stacked it doesn't matter. Like, we would just crush everyone. It depends a little on how your team is built, but honestly, I think I'd rather – the Warriors are playing better basketball right now. They have figured out who they are. I think they're playing at a little bit of a higher level. That said, I don't know that I just – the Lakers are so big and so physical, and with LeBron and Anthony Davis, you're going to go six games against them, and you're going to be beat up at the end of it. So I think I'd rather play the Warriors, who just – aren't that same level of physicality. Because I just feel like if you beat the – even if you get the Lakers, you're going to come out of that one banged up. Anthony Davis is going to make your life difficult. LeBron's going to beat LeBron for enough games that it's just – that's going to be a lot of work to beat them.
Have you gotten any word on Karl Anthony Towns being back for the postseason with the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Yeah, in fact, they're hoping – and I haven't seen an update in the – I haven't looked in the last hour, but he was expected to play tonight. So – if he's back tonight, that makes them obviously that much more dangerous. They want to get him a game or two before the playoffs start, just to get him some conditioning and get his legs under him. But they're going to need him to make any kind of run. They just need his. Once you get to the playoffs, it becomes about your second option and your third option in particular. Like, you know, we can a good defend in the West. It's so deep. The best teams are going to take away your first offensive option. They are going to make life difficult for whatever they decide to take away. And you've got to have options two and ultimately option three to really make it work. Even if you've got Jokic and he's going to do what he does, like, you've still got to have Aaron Gordon put in buckets for them or Jamal Murray, yeah. Right? And I just – Minnesota needs Karl Anthony Towns if they're going to have that guy.
Well, you know, I would think that it would take some time, but I was watching a bit of the Philly-Detroit game the other night, and I'm watching Joel Embiid, and I'm like, well, I was only watching it, just parts of it, out of interest of Joel Embiid. I watched a highlight package on YouTube because I wanted to see how Joel Embiid looked, because I think if Embiid's healthy, I think all of a sudden Philly becomes a real problem in East. And so I'm watching Embiid, and his return has been magnificent. I mean, he was amazing against Detroit.
That's good, because I was afraid you were watching it for the Jalen Duren highlights, and then I was
definitely not interested. I'm not interested in the back and forth between him and Metu or him and Duren. It's not. I have no interest in that.
No, very good. No, I think you're spot on though. In an East where, I mean, who scares you right now? Milwaukee's too, but they're lost three in a row, and Giannis is banged up, and they just haven't been playing well, period. Cleveland doesn't scare you. The Knicks are playing better, and they're getting guys back, but they won't have Randle, and they're really still a guy short. Like, out of everybody you look at in the East, you're suddenly like, yeah, I don't want to see Philly. I mean, if Embiid can get back, I think they might be the second-best team right now. In fact, if he hadn't had the meniscus injury, they might be the number two seed. They were certainly in that mix before they went, I think, 11-18 while he was out. And he was playing like an MVP and might have been in that. He might be the guy who repeated. So I think they're a real threat. And I can tell you for sure, like, you know, Boston doesn't want to see them. Like, Boston's locked into that one seed, but they're like, man, Philly, you got to find a way to get the seventh seed. And Philly's got to be looking at it that way too. Like, you don't want Boston in the first round. As good as Philly is, that's the one team they want to avoid for a while. If they get Milwaukee, especially if Giannis isn't 100%, yeah, they got a puncher's chance at least, if not more.
Yeah, and that looks like that very well could be the matchup. I mean, they all know, can they catch the Pacers and move out of the play-in? I'm talking about the 76ers?
Yes, but, and I'm going to forget it. I'm not looking at this, my notes off the top of my head, but I believe the Pacers have to lose out and they have to win out or something like that, like, because Pacers have the tiebreaker, so they need they need a little help. But yes, on paper, they can.
How good of basketball is the Dallas Mavericks playing right now?
I think they're the second best team in the West. I think I said that to you guys, but you before.
Yeah.
They're two. A, Luka Doncic is Luka Doncic, and Kyrie Irving has been a model citizen and, like, you know, look, unbelievable handles. Like, still got the best handles, maybe the best shot creation in the game. He's so smooth. But what's really made the difference is they went and got Daniel Gafford, a more steady. Lively is going to be the rookie is going to be a really good player, but he's a rookie. Gafford's a kind of solid veteran playing that same role who's just a little more steady right now. Between the two of them and then putting Derrick Jones Jr. into the starting lineup, that gave them the defense they needed. And Luka, I think what Luka can do that makes him so great, and it's the thing that makes Jokic so great, is like you look at the talent around them. Like, Aaron Gordon's a good player, don't get me wrong, and KCP and all those guys and Jamal Murray. But they look great next to Jokic. And Luka does that with, like, yeah, Derrick Jones Jr. isn't the best offensive player in the world, but he's going to get some really clean looks and hit some shots because of just Luka's gravity and vision.
Well, Kurt, I could talk to you for hours, really. Appreciate your insight. Always appreciate your professionalism. And let's go, man. It's NBA playoffs or bust right now.
Yeah, it starts to get really fun. Well, even this weekend, Sunday's going to be fun. And then starting next week, it gets really interesting. And I'm, by the way, if you need me, Hans, I am here for all your hockey talk, too. I used to play, and now I barely get to follow it because it's in basketball season. So, like, every once in a while, I'm like, how are my Kings doing, man? I haven't looked at a while.
Well, next time we have you on, we'll just do all NHL postseason talk and see how they correlate. We'll just.
Yeah, exactly. I still have great stories of getting together with, it was basically me and the entire Canadian media group taking over a corner of a sports bar in San Antonio when they were in the final, I guess it was in 24, when the Kings won the championship, won the Stanley Cup. And we made them turn off, like, UT spring football on one TV so we could watch Stanley Cup final.
Oh, my gosh. Can we just get one of the 45 TVs?
Can we just this corner over here, can you put it on a couple screens?
I love it, Kurt. Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Take care.
There you go, Kurt Heelan. Nobody does it better. NBC Sports Talk. He is just fantastic at his job.